Good morning, America. This is the Katz Roundtable. John Katzmatidis here, Sunday morning. What's going on in the world? Well, last week, we reported on Europe from Nigel Farage, the father of Brexit for the British community. There was a couple of differences. With us this week is Mario Economou, a former banker who has worked in New York, London, Zurich, raised in Europe, in the Middle East, and educated in the United States. And he has some things to say about the European community that he feels the American people should listen to. Good morning, Mario. How are you?
Yes, good morning, Mr. Katzimatidis. Very fine. Thank you very much for having me on the program again.
Now, you listened to the interview with Nigel Farage last Sunday, and you have a couple of differences on the shortages of energy in the UK and what was caused by. Tell us your opinion.
Yeah, so Mr. Farage made some comments regarding what's happening in the UK, and the situation in the UK is actually substantially more dire than as was presented. The UK has a tremendous shortage at the moment of truck drivers. These are European truck drivers who, as a result of Brexit, no longer had working visas. They therefore left the country. The UK now is faced with a situation where it doesn't have enough drivers to be able to drive trucks to deliver goods and services to gas stations, supermarkets, etc. So what the UK is trying to do is it's trying to encourage these truck drivers to come back from Europe by extending three-month visas. Unfortunately, the Europeans are not interested, and it looks like the UK is going to have a much longer problem on their hands, specifically that of getting goods and services to supermarkets, to gas stations, and to other businesses. Mr. Farage also mentioned that the European tourism was actually very bad. I don't know if he was specifically referring to the UK, but as far as the European Union goes, and given the circumstances surrounding COVID and the pandemic, this was actually a very good year, a much better year than last year was. And a lot of this is attributed to the fact that the European Union allowed Americans to come in. Americans did come in, and especially in the southern European countries, not only did they come in, but they've spent a lot of money. And in countries like Greece, many of them are still continuing to come, even now in October, because as we know, in the south of Europe, the summers last substantially longer than they do in the north of Europe. So although the situation is not what it was pre-pandemic, it is substantially better. And many of the businesses that are involved in tourism are actually very happy and grateful that the European Union allowed for this policy of Americans to come into Europe.
He was also very concerned about Russia supplying heating gas to the UK and Europe, and Russia's ability to raise the prices to the levels where the British people cannot afford it. And what's your opinion on that?
Yeah, so President Putin has actually spoken on this topic regarding the European Commission. Poor planning on Europe's part with respect to making long-term arrangements for energy to be delivered from the various markets in the world. In the UK specifically, we've seen some 12 energy suppliers collapse already this year. This has affected roughly 2 million customers. And Mr. Farage pointed out to the very real possibility of a heating poverty this winter in the UK, and he is right. A lot of these companies that have collapsed will not be bailed out by the British government. The British government has come out against bailing these companies out. Therefore, the UK is going to have an energy problem. It is going to have a heating problem. It's true, there have been some articles in the papers in the UK. They hold Russia responsible for this. President Putin says it has nothing to do with him, but rather the fact that Europe has poorly planned its transition from oil and gas to green energy. He, however, says he is prepared under the Nord Stream 2 pipeline to supply Europe with as much gas as is needed in order to keep everything working in the European Union.
In the big picture on relationships, there was a few cracks in relationships, especially with France and the UK, on the sale of those submarines to the technology to Australia. France is as mad as hell at the United States for making a deal with the UK to sell the nuclear subs to Australia, which I personally think nuclear is much better than diesel. I mean, what are you going to do with diesel subs? What's your opinion on those inter-European relationships?
So here's the thing. France does not feel bad about the nuclear submarines, because the reality is France could have produced those nuclear submarines and sold them to Australia. I think what France is upset about, and what I think many Europeans are upset about, is the fact that the United States, the United Kingdom, and Australia discussed this and reached an agreement without letting anybody in the European Union know. And what I think we're going to start seeing now, and this is just strictly my opinion, is a decoupling. NATO will continue to exist, but we're going to start seeing many more bilateral and trilateral agreements, agreements between countries, similar to the one that was ratified in the Greek Parliament yesterday, an agreement specifically between Greece and France, whereby Greece is going to be buying substantial arms, airplanes, frigates from France, and France will agree, essentially, to cover Greece in the event of any third party attacking it. We're going to start seeing many more of these types of agreements, not only in Europe, not only between America, the UK, and Australia, but also in other parts of the world. In my opinion, once again, this will lead to an arms race. Is that good? Is it bad? I can tell you this. Deterrence costs money. Wars cost money. Wars cost more money. Therefore, deterrence is good. That means, well, many more countries are going to start buying weapons.
This is important, what you just said. An alliance between Greece and France, does that mean that Greece is, and France are no longer dependent on NATO doing the entire job?
So NATO will continue to exist. NATO will continue to act as an umbrella. But if Greece is attacked by a third country outside of the European Union, France will come to its defense. And specifically, what Greece is looking at is to its neighbor to the east, Turkey, which has very large ambitions, not only in our region, but pretty much around the world. And therefore, Greece is trying to put a stop to this threat from Turkey by reaching an agreement with France.
Let's make it a little bit bigger. Does that mean Israel is afraid that maybe the United States won't back them up?
I can't comment on Israel. What I can tell you about Israel is President Trump did have the correct instincts in having many of the Arab countries meet with, discuss, and reach diplomatic relations with Israel. In fact, last week we saw the first Egypt Air flight leave Egypt and land in Israel. So we are seeing a completely different picture in that part of the world. Many of the threats that used to exist no longer are threats for Israel. Those are countries that are actually warming up their relations with Israel very nicely. I think that that's positive. I don't think it's negative. That doesn't mean in any way that America would not come to help Israel in the event of a problem. But I think America is now looking and shifting its attention more, as we all know, to the east, and specifically to China, and to a lesser extent, Russia. But I don't think America will abandon Israel.
Last question. The overall pulse of the situation of the European community, I know there were a lot of them, including the UK, were mad as hell that they weren't kept appraised on Afghanistan. What is the pulse on the dependence of the United States in Europe? When you ask the average person walking around France or Germany or Italy, give me the pulse.
I think there's finally, after many, many years, the genuine belief in Europe that it's time for it to get itself together and to organize itself, to have a proper army, to have a proper defense mechanism. I think it's positive. I think it's something that America should encourage. That doesn't mean that America and Europe cannot work together. Of course they will work together. But it is time for Europe to actually defend itself and not to rely on the United States. And I think with what happened in Afghanistan, the way the pullout happened, the speed at which it happened, and the lack of information from the U.S. to its European allies with respect to what it was going to do, became a further trigger in the European Union actually now saying that it's time for us to mobilize and to create our own army and to stop relying exclusively on the United States for protection.
Mario Economu, thank you so much for filling in the American people and giving us the pulse of what's going on in Europe. And we'll talk to you again in the near future.
Thank you very much. Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you.